Blog Talk Radio.
Here's the radio happy hour, Dr. Blogstein.
That's me, Dr. Blogstein. Join me and my crew of nut jobs, knuckleheads, and celebrity guest stars each Tuesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, live exclusively on Blog Talk Radio. And if you don't catch us live, listen to us on the archive. Hey, that rhymes.
Here on the radio, happy hour, Dr. Blogstein.
Shirley MacLaine, thank you very much for joining us here on the radio happy hour.
Why do you call your show happy hour? Are we supposed to be drunk?
Well, no. It is an option, though.
Why do you call it happy hour? Answer me.
Why? Because it's an hour of fun radio, and the result is to make people that listen and join in happy.
I see.
Are you happy, Shirley?
I will be happier. When we finish.
This is the happy hour. Won't you tune on in? Live from the East Coast from 9 to 10. Yo, it's Dr. Blogstein. Happy hour's amongst us. I spit into the death, last breath to my lungs bust. A microphone martial artist, use it like nunchucks. Like Bruce or Jet Li, and MC don't get effed up. Knuckle up, pimps, players, all of your hustlers. This is the happy hour. Yo, won't you join us? Have a drink. What you think about that? Phenomenon off the top, and you know I'm all that. That's it.
All right.
I like
stop.
Here's the radio happy hour, Dr. Blogstein. Tuesday night at 9 o'clock, Dr. Blogstein. Dr. Blogstein. Freaking news and pretty guests, north and south and east to west. Put your boundaries to the test with Dr. Blogstein. Well, 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 I'm glad you're here. Well, 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 my name. Sit on down and here you'll find Dr. Blogstein. If you've got things on your mind, call Dr. Blogstein. Dr. Blogstein. Don't annoy or throw a fit. Bubble chaos and funny shit. Grab a chair, he's on the air. Dr. Blogstein. Here on the radio, happy hour.
Here on the radio, happy hour, Dr. Blogstein. Ho, 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 and welcome everybody. Merry Christmas to all those celebrating the Christmas holiday. Happy Hanukkah. Blessed Kwanzaa. Whatever else there is. Welcome to the Radio Happy Hour Holiday Special. Today, and then on New Year's Day, or the night of New Year's Day, January 1st, 2008, we will have a two-part special recapping the year of the fun that we've had here at the Radio Happy Hour. Let's get started with our first clip, and then you'll get the hang of what we're doing around here. This show is good for everybody who, and I'm sure that's most of you that I'm talking to, haven't heard every single episode of the Radio Happy Hour this past year. For that, you should be ashamed of yourself, but worry not. These will be the highlights. This will catch you up on everything that you missed over the past year, so that when our first show of 2008 begins, you will know everything that's happened before. Now, let's get started. Christmas and New Year's Day, or New Year's Eve, both come on a Tuesday.
All right.
And our show is on a Tuesday, and I don't imagine all of you want to gather and do a show on Christmas. So, my idea was to kind of do a recap of the past year, and tell me if you think this is a good idea. And I know I spoke to Vinny and Dangerous about this over email at one point. And I thought that we can, do a two-parter, one to play during Christmas, one to play on New Year's Eve or New Year's Day, whatever the Tuesday night is, where each one of us choose our favorite moments of past year and we'll just replay it. Is that a nice idea?
I think that's amazing. But who's going to do all that
idea.
Editing? Are you working for free again?
Yes, I'm going to do all the editing, of course, the labor of love.
Do we go around the room now, or how do you
want to
work?
I want you to give it some thought.
I know exactly what I want.
Do you?
Yeah, I have a man that slept with 1,000 gay actors, Hollywood actors.
That was your favorite. and what's funny is that was your first ever show, wasn't it?
Who the hell remembers? I don't know what I did 10 minutes ago, Dr. Blonstein.
Jane, I'm going to bring Justin in a second, but let me tell you who this guest is, this surprise guest. And Justin's going to help us interview him because we have to. We're running out of time. You know, this guy is Don Taylor. He's a very controversial figure. I have a feeling that a lot of people are not going to like this guy.
Okay, so what does he do?
Don Taylor, he wrote a book, and Justin...
Yes, hello.
How are you, my man?
Oh, I am just so excited, Dr. Blockstein. I think I remember you when you were a male nurse. And, Jane, I've been a big fan of yours since about 9 p.m. tonight.
Oh, thank you.
You are so welcome, everybody.
Well, Justin, as you know, live radio is unpredictable, and we're going to bring you in on an interview for an unsuspecting guest.
Very exciting.
Don Taylor is the author of a very controversial book. It's called One Gay Man, correct?
Right, One Gay Man, and the subtitle is A 20th Century Sex Odyssey.
Oh, that's very racy and exciting.
Okay, well, Don Taylor, he claims to have had gay affairs with some of Hollywood's biggest superstars of the past.
Oh, my God, that's
very...
With or without a condom.
Well, usually without, because that was years before AIDS ever showed up, and having had some 5,000 sex partners and never caught anything in my life, I guess I must have had a guardian angel sitting on my shoulder.
Wow.
5,000 sex partners and no diseases.
Not one, not even a cold.
Wow.
Not even a cold?
Nope.
How about a cold sore?
A couple of those.
Yeah, well, then that is a disease, I believe.
Well, Don, let's go through this list because it's very impressive and very controversial, and a lot of people are not going to believe you. And you must have come across a lot of this whiplash and backlash against a lot of what you're claiming in this book because Elvis Presley, you've had gay sex with Elvis Presley?
Right.
Now, wait a minute. Let's talk about what gay sex actually is here, because is that kind of sex, or is that, you know, the bending for the soap kind of sex? Talk to us here and spill the beans.
Elvis and I spent one night together in 1956. I was working at the Beverly Wilshire Hotel in Beverly Hills. He and Colonel Parker were staying there. They were doing promo for Love Me Tender, which had just come out, and he was getting ready to do his next picture. I was working as a waiter in the coffee shop, and Elvis used to come in once or twice a day to eat. And when he found out I was from Tennessee, we kind of clicked. And every time he would come in, if it was my shift, he would ask to sit with me. So one night, it was almost time to go home. It was about 10 o'clock, and I said, Elvis, I got to go catch the bus. He said, oh, why do you have to leave? And I said, well, if I don't catch this bus, I got to wait for an hour for the next one. He said, oh, I'll drive you home. So I lived in Englewood down near LAX. And he drove me home. When we got to my house, I asked him if he'd like to come up for a while. He said, oh, don't mind if I do. And we sat around and talked and made Black Russians. And I told him if there's any music he wanted to listen to pick LPs then. So he came back with a stack of about 8 or 10 LPs. K-Star, Joe Stafford, Patti Page, and curiously, the score from Richard Rodgers' Victory at Sea, which he loved. So we're sitting in the living room relaxing and have this big fluffy flocati rug. And after a while, he threw some cushions on the rug and said, why don't you come over here and join me? So we laid down together and started just cuddling, and one thing led to the next. And we had the most incredible sex I had ever, what I would call super ultra romantic.
Well, wait a minute. This is satellite or blogs. Radio, right? So let's get a little deeper than that. I mean, do you have a piece of clothing that sort of is in your closet
No, that's okay. I was on Howard Stern 2 weeks ago, and that was a satellite, so we could talk about anything.
Yeah, you can talk about anything here, although I'm scared to find out, because
Justin, you want to go deeper, so ask some friends.
Yeah, I mean, when you said it was the most romantic, what does that mean? Were you sharing, you know, macaroni and cheese? Were you?
No, it was just, you can make sex whatever you want it to be. Sometimes it transcends being sex and just becomes something like above that. And I've had everything from super ultra romantic to the absolute depths of depravity and everything in between. But with Elvis, it was just purely romantic. So he stayed all night. We had sex again the next morning. And he left, and I saw him a couple of times again at the hotel. And it was incredible. And the curious thing is, I have never been an Elvis fan.
Not even after your two orgasms?
No. The sex was fantastic, but I just didn't like his music. I only saw one of his movies. Never saw him in concert. Never bought one of his albums.
Boxers or briefs, and did you swallow?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, really?
Oh,
really?
Interesting. If you're going to work that hard for something, you might as well enjoy it.
Salty?
Well, after 51 years ago and 5,000 sex partners, it's difficult to remember, but that stuff does have different tastes depending on what you've eaten. If you want it to be sweet, eat pineapple and parsley.
Yeah, but you know, I would imagine, you know, you say it's hard to remember, but this is Elvis Presley.
Yeah, I mean, what everybody is dying, I'm sure Andy in 301 and Chris in 516 wants to know, was Elvis big? Or was he tiny?
Oh, no. He was very nice sized. Uncircumcised. Didn't have very much hair on his body. But he was just real cuddly and very nice and sweet. Then you go on to somebody else, James Dean, for example, who's in...
Wait a second.
What?
James Dean?
Yeah,
oh, come on, Dr. Blogstein.
No,
wait,
everybody knows James Dean was a little bit of a friend of Dorothy.
Really?
He was really in the heavy S&M.
Oh, gee.
So that
wow.
made, he's as different from Elvis as anybody could possibly be.
So what role did you play in that sort of relationship?
With James Dean?
Yeah.
Oh, I was the S. He was the M. And he loved it. He enjoyed every minute. He enjoyed getting whipped with the buckle end of a belt.
Well, who does?
Well, I don't. There are people who do.
Right. James Dean, it sounded a little rough. How about some of your most wildest evenings?
Wait, there's someone I want to ask you about, if I can interrupt. Of course I can interrupt. This is my show.
Okay. Come on.
Don.
Yeah.
This is unbelievable. There's a certain mass murderer that you've had sex with.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. His name is Charles Manson. After all these years, we still keep in touch. And I met him in Haight-Ashbury in 1968. And I live in Hollywood. I used to go to San Fran every once in a while just to roam around. So that afternoon, I was just walking around Haight-Ashbury. I turned a corner, and Charlie was sitting perched like a little bird on the steps going up to a Victorian house. He was dressed like Willie Nelson, carried the New Heights. And as soon as I saw him, my taste for grunge peaked. So I sat and talked to him for a while. And within 20 minutes, we were in a nearby crash pad having some fantastic sex. Then I gave him a phone number, and, you know, when you trick with somebody, you didn't expect ever to hear from him again. But a couple of months later, he was in Hollywood. He gave me a call, and we spent another couple of days at my apartment in Hollywood and had some incredible sex, some really far out, scat, water sports, you know, whatever turns anybody on, I can get into.
And by water sports, Justin, you want to explain?
I mean, I am the weatherman, and it might be raining, but I'm not quite sure that's the same water sports we're talking about.
All right, hey, you're the weatherman. Oh.
Yes, I am. Nice to meet you.
It's raining here.
Well, and it must be raining men around your neighborhood.
When you were with Charles Manson.
Mm-hmm.
Did you sense danger? Did you sense that you were with someone who's how long before the Tate murder was this?
This was approximately a year. I went to San Francisco. It was probably early summer of '68, and the events that put Charlie where he is now in Corcoran State Prison in California, those occurred, I believe it was probably in August or September of 69, a little over a year later. And, of course, I said, my God, that's Charlie.
May I ask you a question?
Sure.
Are you exhausted after having sex with 5,000 people?
No. You know something? My entire life, from about age 10 up to the present day, has been a celebration of my sexuality. And my book is a celebration of gay sex. In fact, my first sex partner, and the best one I have ever had out of some thousands of men, was my stepfather, and I seduced him when I was about 10 years old.
I'm getting nervous now.
Oh, don't get nervous. I shouldn't be nervous.
Well, I don't know. That's a little bit beyond the sex, isn't it? That's a little. Dr. Blogstein, you're a doctor. Are you a therapist, psychiatrist? Help us here.
Yeah, I mean, I would diagnose that as thoroughly screwed up.
Bring Dr. Phil in, see what he's got to say.
I think we're way beyond Dr. Phil, Don. Your stepfather seduced you at 10 years old?
No. I seduced him.
Wow. All of a sudden, I'm getting a hemorrhoid here.
Oh, don't do that.
I'm sorry. You know, very interesting. Do you have pheromones? How do you mate and you know, it's like your Rebecca De Mornay, you mate and you kill, that spider movie. How do you bring men into your web?
I don't. Curiously, with all the celebrities, it was just pure serendipity. I happened to be at the right places at the right time. I lived most of my life in New York, Hollywood, Beverly Hills, and Las Vegas, and worked there. And that's where the celebrities are. In fact, I met James Dean one night in a gay bar called the House of Ivy on Las Palmas Boulevard in Hollywood. I met Elvis at the hotel. I met Orson Welles. He was the first celeb that I had. I was sitting on Sunset Boulevard in front of Schwab's. He came by cruising. He picked me up. We drove up into the hills and had sex. And, you know, it just happens.
So you're not a couch potato.
Did I know Orson Welles was gay? I think that's been out before, right?
No, you know, it doesn't mean that he's gay. I don't know how to define this. Take Elvis, for example. I've often wondered if he ever had an affair with another guy. Considering the way he enjoyed the evening and the next morning that we spent together, and he enjoyed it tremendously, there's no reason to doubt that sometime or other he did not have a relationship with another guy.
Oh, well, look at you and that ego. You think that your sex is the sex to end all sex and he doesn't have to sleep with any other guy?
No, absolutely not. Most of the guys I've had have been much better than I am. Nothing ego at all, but I've just really wondered most of my life if Elvis ever did do it with another guy. I'd just be curious to know.
Maybe that's your next book.
In fact, I'm writing another book right now.
So, Don, is there anyone that is living, not mentally insane, that you've had sex with that we would know?
Except Charlie. Well, actually, all of these guys are dead, except there might be one guy, a Mexican actor named Luis Miranda. I met him in 1972. We kept in touch for several years, and then, you know, like with Christmas cards, et cetera. And I haven't been in touch with him for over 30 years, so whether he's still alive or not, I don't know.
Did anybody have a heart attack during sex?
Oh, thank God, no.
Right.
Anyone have a heart attack during this interview? Don?
What?
You ever sleep with Dick Van Patten?
Oh, my God, no.
Thank God. All right, there is a guy.
Oh, no, absolutely not. No, he's probably still there listening.
Well, and
it has nothing, it's no reflection on him, but he's just not my type.
All right, that is...
But
that
a bum. Out of 5,000 men, you're going to depress Dick Van Patten like that? I bet you can find something about him that's...
Wait, of the over 5,000 people that you've had sex with, any of them women?
Oh, absolutely not. Maybe in the next lifetime, but not in this lifetime.
All right.
If you want to know the guy, the one guy alive today in show business who I think is one of the sexiest men that ever lived, is Matthew Fox from Lost. Oh, my God. He is beyond being gorgeous. He's divine.
Jane, you like him too, don't you?
Yeah, I like Matthew Fox.
tell us all where we can get this book before we say goodnight.
Log on to my website. It's onegayman.com, onegayman.com. You can order it now as an ebook, and as soon as you download it, you can start reading it like in about 5 minutes.
Yeah, and we only scratched the surface, huh?
Yeah, but I hope everybody who reads it enjoys reading it as much as I enjoyed writing it, because I really did have fun.
Well, I don't know if we'll enjoy reading it as much as you enjoyed living it. That's one issue.
I did live it. Well, if I had any way to sum it up, I would say I was a Timex caught up in a Rolex world, and the curious thing is that all of those Rolexes have stopped running long ago, and I'm still sitting here ticking.
Yeah,
very poignant. Is that in your book?
It's what?
Is that in your book? That last phrase was fantastic.
A Timex caught up in a Rolex world.
Yeah, that's amazing.
I think it is. If it isn't, it'll be on the dust jacket.
Yeah, I think so.
I think it's up. And this was a road trip across America in search of sex.
Right.
And I think if you wanted to compare it to anything, you might compare it to, say, Jack Kerouac's On the Road meets John Retzius' City of Night. And because it's, in a way, a combination of both those books.
I got to compare it to what's on Channel 501 right now if I pay $9.95.
Absolutely.
And leave it to Justin to have a wacky pick like that, Justin the Weatherman. That was his first ever appearance on the Radio Happy Hour, and believe it or not, that same episode, what a historic episode it was. What date was that episode? Let me look at that. But that was also the same time, the same episode that Dangerous Lee debuted at. And Dangerous Lee, who is now a regular staple on the Radio Happy Hour, she was just a guest on the show to do her... to do an Ask Dangerous Lee segment where people would ask questions. And so we'll be hearing more about or more from that episode a little bit later on in this two-hour special. I'm still trying to find the date of that episode. Where is it? Let's see here. All right. The date of that one was June 19th, and Dick Van Patten was also on that show. What that could be one of my favorite shows that we've done all year. Anyway, one of my favorite things that happened on the Radio Happy Hour is when I could get under the skin of one of my co-hosts. So throughout this two-hour special, I will be playing you some of my favorite arguments. Law school's hard. I don't want to go to law school, but I've always wanted to play a lawyer on TV because I enjoy arguing so much. Let's listen to one.
The white police are framing OJ again. Holy crap.
You said the white police are framing OJ?
Yeah. Those like the first time.
Oh,
could you believe it?
I don't even want to get into OJ. He just needs to, you know, and this doesn't help him, you know, for the people who thought he was innocent, you know, of murder. Doing this just makes him ridiculous.
What people are those besides the jury?
Oh, honey, please. There's plenty of people that think he's innocent. I mean, he was found not guilty, so people like to go with that theory. But there are a lot of people who believe that he's not guilty.
And are you in that camp?
No, don't even get me started. You know, I have.
Think he's innocent?
I think he might be involved somehow, and then with this recent mess that's going on,
Dangerously, I almost.
Don't start with me. I'm gonna start with you
because are you
like? Don't start with me, okay? Number one, he was found not guilty. Number two...
He was found not guilty because the jury's a bunch of morons.
Okay, well, that's your opinion.
No,
you don't know.
No, that's
you don't know. You can't say anything is a fact. How the hell did you know? Were you there?
But there was not enough evidence for you?
Look, you, Dr. Blockstein, about O.J. Simpson. I'm not going to do it.
Why not? That makes good radio.
Argue with somebody else. I mean, like I said, he was found not guilty. And number two is, look, it's your opinion. You're basing what you think on your opinion. It's your opinion that he's guilty.
Yeah.
It's all about opinion. So
based on the evidence.
Yeah. Were you in the jury?
No, I wasn't.
Okay, so what do you think they based it on?
I don't know.
Exactly, you don't know. So that's why you just need to let that go. It's going to be split down the middle.
No, I don't
you know
think it's
going to
be split down the middle. Maybe
it is split down the middle. And like I said, now it may be more split down to he's guilty because he's doing a lot of dumb shit.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, look, the legal system is great because if you're...
The legal system is not all that, but...
The legal
like
system
said,
is based on the fact that you are judged by a jury of your peers, and O.J. was lucky because he's a dumbass, and the peers that judged him were all dumbasses.
Well, there you go. That's one man's opinion.
I think I speak for the...
You probably do speak for a mass of people, but then there's also another mass of people that think otherwise, Dr. Blockstein.
I do not leave room for any other opinion.
Well, this is your show, so of course you don't. You know what I'm saying?
I cannot believe
this is your show.
Oh, I know it is. Are you saying that on Friday when Dangerously Live comes on, it's going to be, oh, crap, I forgot we have guests.
Yeah, because you're getting all deep about OJ. It's like, give me a break. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. What is it, 1995 again? But you're saying on Friday you're going to do an OJ is Innocent show?
No, I'm not. I don't support him like that. So what are you trying to say?
I'm trying to say that you thought he was innocent.
Is that what I said 5 minutes ago?
That's what I got out of it.
I said that I think he may have had something to do with it. I don't know. You're saying you know. You're saying that you know what happened, that your opinion is what's the deal. I'm not saying that.
All right.
Just because I don't agree with you, what is that? Is there a problem, Dr. Blockstein?
Yes, it is a problem.
Everyone
should agree with me. All right, let's move on.
Well, you know better than that with me, baby. You got to remember who you're talking to.
Hey, this is Dangerously, and one of my favorite moments from this past year would have to be when Countess Vaughn and Warren G cussed on the Radio Happy Hour. Isn't that interesting? The F word and everything. It was pretty cool. Here it is.
Warren G, of all the other contestants, if you weren't assigned to Countess, who would you like to be the teacher for?
I'd take Shaw Jones of I believe I probably could make Paris a better rapper. I probably could make him a better rapper.
That could be a whole different show. You could do 10 episodes of that. That I would watch.
But, hey, I got my girl, so I'm happy.
No, I think
I didn't mean to curse. Did I? Oh, wait.
That's okay.
Oh, no, we can curse. That's fine. This is the internet. There are no rules here. This is the Wild West.
Oh, goodness.
Well, if that's the case, now let me cut that out now. I'm just messing with
you. You are hilarious.
Careful, Warren. I'm still on the phone.
Oh, watch out. The publicist is here.
Oh, well, then let me get one out, too. Shit.
Yeah, that feels good, right, Kevin?
Yeah.
It feels good to get it out.
Oh, man.
I've never been able to do that before.
See, it feels good.
Fun.
I'm glad I can give you this venue. Anything else you want to say that's vulgar?
Fuck.
Nice. Awesome.
Okay, I'm done.
You did it real quick, too.
Oh, yeah, I did it really quick. My mom's going to kill me.
Oh, stop it. You grow, girl. Stop it.
That's right. Monique's not going to hurt you. I promise.
Oh, Lord.
is that not the mom you're talking about?
No.
Miss Parker.
Hi, this is Dr. Anonymous, and my favorite Radio Happy Hour was the very first show that I listened to on Wednesday, April 4th. Yes, a Wednesday show, and I think that was a sign of the things that were going to be happening that night. So here's what happened. First, the opening music didn't work.
My music is not working on the soundboard.
Then the guest wasn't there.
Uh-oh. What? We are having difficulties with our guest. He's been called twice, and he hasn't answered.
And then there was a prank caller saying she was the guest.
Joey G.
Now, who's this?
Joey G.
Oh, my God, I'm hanging up. Whoever this is.
It's me.
And as all this was happening, there was American Idol updates seeing if Sanjaya was going to be voted off.
Hallie is going home.
I'm
sorry. I apologize. Gina is going home. Hallie gets to stay.
Are you telling me you fell for the Ryan Seacrest fake?
And I think, if I remember right, it all kind of erupted with Dr. B kind of going off on the Blog Talk Radio person who was trying to help him.
Like, Amy! What? Do you hear me?
I called. He's not there.
Well, you keep calling. I don't want to hear your American Idol.
So, Dr. B, you made me a fan that night, and I've been listening to the show ever since. I'm looking forward to the show in 2008.
My music is not working on the soundboard.
Where is the moment we need it the most?
I really have to start the show over.
You can't believe the magic is lost.
We are having difficulties with our guests.
Tell me your blues can't fade to gray. Tell me your passion's gone away. And I don't need no care at all.
This is an embarrassment.
This is just a live train wreck, and we just gotta keep plugging away.
So aren't you like the vice president of this Blog Talk Radio? Don't you know what you're doing?
Your life been way offline. You fall into pieces every time. And I don't need no care at all.
This is horrible. I'm hanging up on you. Call back the right way. Holy crap.
I don't
want to hear your American Idol.
It's me. I'm here to talk to Vinny.
It's Tisha.
Well, I just hung up on her because who's in the mood for jokes right now? I'm trying to do a show. I don't need Belgian women calling in pretending to be an Italian mobster. Crap. My technology isn't working, the music doesn't work, my guest isn't there, and you're calling up playing games? Oh, am I angry? Holy crap! Alright! I want to put everyone on notice. Don't screw around with Dr. Blockstein. No, I am in a crappy mood right now. And you're part of the problem. She calls to talk to the guy I have watching American Idol for me. Not even talk to me. Alright, shut up, you two.
Like between 9 o'clock and 9:15, total chaos.
Alright, shut up, everybody.
Are just like on some kind of roll tonight.
It's not funny anymore. No, I told you, I put everyone on warning. Nobody is exempt from my rage today.
leave the building to Ryan Seacrest. You're here to report results.
Yes, sir.
Holy crap.
You know, now you want to leave.
This show was doomed from the beginning.
Oh, that wacky Dr. Blogstein. Well, luckily, eventually we did get Joey G from The Sopranos on the show. He almost died.
Dr. Blogstein!
Joseph Gattascoli, who of course he played Vinny Spadafore on, Vito Spadafore on The Sopranos. He was the gay gangster. He was killed last season. Did you win an Emmy? Were you nominated for an Emmy for that performance?
No, I wasn't nominated. I wasn't. No, I was not.
You should have been, don't you think?
Well, I mean, it's nice to get recognized. It hopefully means more work. I don't make those decisions. I don't know how it works, but I'm just grateful. I had a great year on the greatest show. So can't ask for more than that.
Yeah, you really had one of the greatest seasons. I mean, I really think that performance that you played, the gay gangster, but you were going through as a tough guy, but clearly conflicted. I thought that was award worthy.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that very much, really.
Did you get any feedback from the gay community?
Oh yeah. As a matter of fact, the show was they had the GLAAD Awards this past weekend. We didn't win, but the show was nominated for best drama, and they showed all my scenes. And
oh,
so, I know the gay community was, happy way the character was depicted, and I'm glad that it's sort of a stereotypical, kind of gay character and gay fashion.
Yeah, was it a? Go ahead, Jane.
No, that wasn't me actually.
Oh. On the set of The Sopranos, you're not on the set now, obviously, because you're not in any scenes, you're dead, although last week we saw Big Pussy.
Right, yeah, he did a little cameo. I will not be on the show this year.
Oh, you heard it here first. There will be no dream sequence or coming back from the dead from Vito.
I shouldn't say that. You never know.
You never know. Is the taping done, though, for the season?
Yeah, it's all finished.
Are people upset with James Gandolfini for wanting to end this?
Well, I don't think he wanted to end it. I think David Chase wanted to, he told every story he had to tell, I think. And, I don't know, but I think it's run its course. And I think a lot of the actors are ready to move on. I mean, I'm sure there's actors that could have just went on and doing it because they loved it so much. And, it's great camaraderie and great writing and just part of great history. But there's some of the big actors are ready to explore different characters.
I know I'm going to miss it when it's done.
There's 85 shows or 90, so for those watching reruns.
Yeah, that's true. But I would like to watch the reruns on the DVD because A&E just doesn't do it for me.
Yeah, no, if you're going to watch it, you got to watch it on DVD.
Yeah, I agree. Bond, you're a big Sopranos fan, right, Vinny?
I am. I absolutely am. I've watched every episode. I've really enjoyed it. And, Joey, I have to echo Doc's comments. I love the way you portrayed Vito last season. You put a lot of heart and soul into a tough guy, and you showed both sides of, a very conflicted character, to use your word, Doc. I was sorry to see, it end that way, and I was hoping that maybe, in some way, shape, or form, you were coming back to maybe haunt your killers a little bit maybe this year in a dream sequence. I think that would have been a fun way to bring your character full circle.
Yeah, that would have been nice. What's most gratifying is that, when I was shooting that, that was interesting, with my hips, I had to be, I had double lifting foot. So, when you're trying to act and every step you take is so painful that I was on like 10, 12 apples. It's hard enough for doing what you do, but it just made it more gratifying that I got through it.
Yeah, who do you you mentioned his killer, but and Phil Leotardo was the main guy who kind of orchestrated your assassination, your hit.
Right.
He's one of the guys that could not survive this season, right?
Well, I mean, there was two guys that did me in. Last year was the Fat Dom, and they stamped him. And then the guy at the table was the other guy, except he had blonde hair last year. But he was at the table with Stevie Van Zandt, and they got him.
Right. Right.
So the only guy left now was Frank Vincent.
Who very symbolically came out of the closet during your beating.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, playing the gay gangster was actually your idea, wasn't it?
Yeah, I brought it to the attention of the writers that from a book I was reading, and I thought it'd be interesting and something you never seen, you know, mob dramas or any kind of mob, you know, to do with the mob. So it was a chance for me to get some acting in.
You think a real gay guy in the mafia would have met the same fate that you did, that Vito did?
Well, the book I was reading, he didn't because he was a big earner. The one that they killed in Jersey because he was gay, and I'm sure it wasn't solely because he was gay. Maybe it was about money, and it was a power thing, and they said it was because he was gay. But I think Tony would have lived with it, but because I was hurting him in his pocket, and I came up with a solution to put money in his pocket, he thought about it. But, you know, if it's going to hurt, the bottom line is always money with the mob.
Yeah. Now, I just thought, as an aside, when you were doing that scene with Tony in the mall, was that the Livingston Mall?
Oh, you know what? It's so long ago, and I'm not familiar with Jersey that well.
No.
It could have been.
Yeah, because
you know,
but one of my favorite parts...
Nice mall.
Yeah, one of my favorite parts of The Sopranos and living in the area is recognizing and seeing places that I've been to, driven past, and eaten at.
Right.
And that's probably what a lot of people say that they love about the show. It's very local.
Yes. Yeah.
You still have restaurants in the area?
No, I still own my restaurants. I've been just working on I have a cookbook novel out called The Meal to Die For. That's been out for a year and a half. I'm coming out with my own pool stick in 2 weeks called The Cue to Die For, The Bottle Break. My own line of cigars by Rocky Patel. Called the Ganascoli. So I'm keeping busy with those endeavors, and actually all those people could look at on my website, joesoup.com.
Joesoup.com, and I have that link for you on my website, so whoever needs to go get that link, you can get it there, joesoup.com. Before I let you go, I do want to ask you about a quote that you have. This was in the Associated Press in 2006. You said that you were asked, you said that Sopranos has changed your life in so many ways. Recognition is what you said the most. It allowed you to get married.
It allowed me to get married?
Yeah, that's what you said. Did it?
Yeah, because, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I just want to know. I'm just curious whether it kind of opened up new possibilities to you.
Well, I mean, the whole thing, of course, for acting, acting-wise is one thing, but, you know, I was a gambler my whole life, and I lived in a rent-controlled apartment, and, you know, the last few years, things started changing, and I started making, you know, money, but to do what I really wanted, I mean, I moved out of Brooklyn into Long Island, I got a beautiful house, you know, I want to have children, and so, you know, to do all that stuff, you have to be able to support it. I mean, because acting is very simple. You can't rely on waiting for the phone to ring. So that's why you try to stay busy with other things, and that's why it show changed my life in so many ways.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you. You're all right there?
Yeah.
You need to get some water, huh?
Yeah. I'm in a car.
Okay.
Oh, I don't have any water. I'm okay now. So,
you need water, right?
Yeah, no, I'm okay.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's what's the great part about the show for me and everything.
Yeah. Who's James Hoving?
James Hoving was a character I made up. I made him my fictional manager.
I love this story.
And I would call up casting directors on my behalf after I submitted my pictures and tried to get myself auditions, and it's not like on my first role.
So you
I love it.
Yeah, he acted as his agent to get acting
right.
jobs. I mean,
right,
you,
I had no agent.
Yeah, I mean that's
great. That's hustle, I tell you.
Yeah, that's hustle. That's genius. Well, Joe, I want to thank you for joining us on the Radio Happy Hour.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry, is it in?
No, I just want to get some water, you poor guy.
I know, I'll be home soon.
Yeah, well, thank you for joining us.
Hey, listen, I'm glad we finally got it done. Sorry about the last time I missed, but it was your, well, you did your homework, and it was my pleasure.
All right, now go get yourself some water, because I don't like the way you're sounding right now.
Oh,
I don't want this to be your last interview, Joe, I don't want this to be your last
you know,
interview.
I put you on the map.
Yeah, that's true. Thanks a lot, Joe.
You should be open that night.
Yeah, I know. Right. Could you imagine? We'd be all over the news. Joey G's last interview. Wait, if you're gonna die, would you do it on the air?
Yeah, he was on the phone with Dr. Blockstein, and
I don't know why I'm encouraging you to get water. I should be encouraging you to end it all right now.
Yeah. Oh, soon enough, my friend. Soon enough.
Okay, Joe. Thanks so much.
All right, guys. Thank you.
Right. I received a note from someone we both know.
Mm-hmm.
Someone who wanted me to know that you were running around in the Jersey Shore this weekend?
Yes.
With some strange guy that you've never met?
I've met him before. I know him.
Who is he?
He's a guy that I met. It's fine. I kind of used to go out with a friend of his.
You're dating someone that you...
No, I'm not dating this guy. I went to the Jersey Shore with a friend of mine.
Oh, it's nothing salacious.
No.
All right, I'm just looking out for you.
Why does this matter?
Because I'm looking.
Do you think I'm going to get myself killed?
No, not like that. But I, you know, if you're look, you just got through a breakup. I know you're going to. You have the urges to sow your wild oats. I just want you to be safe about it.
Well, what is not safe about going to the Jersey Shore with a friend of mine?
There's nothing not safe about that, but the way I heard it was just someone you just met or someone you didn't even know.
Who told you this?
I don't want to say it on the air.
All right. We need to talk later.
I don't
want to
say it because I don't know if they want me to... They were just telling me out of concern.
Who's concerned about me? Do you know how great a time I had? It was beautiful. The beach was lovely. I loved it. It was great. There was nothing salacious about it. Absolutely not. I went to the beach, and that's it. What is the big deal?
I don't see a big deal now that you explain it to me, and, you know, this is a lesson to me not to jump to conclusions.
Yeah. I even blogged about this. That was it.
All right, well, this is also a lesson to me not to listen to this one particular person.
All right, well, whoever it is definitely in trouble now.
I'll tell you who it is later, and I'll ask them if I can, well, I can tell you off the air. I just don't want to make it a whole big thing.
That's fine. It already is a whole big thing. And also, I just want to tell you that I have my wits about me. I get it. I'm going to have some fun while I'm single, and just because I'm a woman, I think that everybody is jumping to conclusions.
Okay.
Everybody's jumping to conclusions about what's going on in my life.
I didn't even have any conclusions. I just wanted to make sure that
I fine. You know, I'm tired of people treating me like a little girl. I'm not a little girl. I
okay,
know
Brittany,
what I'm
calm
doing.
Down, Brittany. Calm down.
Seriously, I'm starting to identify with some of these women now. It's like you go out for one night and everybody thinks you're losing your shit. I am not losing my shit.
Would you leave her alone with that?
Yes, thank you. Good Lord. I'm upset.
I mean, she's single now. She's having a good time. She's entitled. And I mean, you know, even if she was getting a little freaky, she's single.
Thank you very much.
But it's okay for me to be concerned. She's my friend.
Why would you be concerned?
Listen to me. Concerned about what?
Concerned that she's being safe and she's with the way I heard the story was that she was with someone that she didn't know or that she just met.
Okay, now how long have you known her? Do you know her to do something ridiculous like that?
I don't, but I also don't know her after after she's broken up a long-term relationship. People react differently to stress like that.
Well, that's true, but I wouldn't be so concerned. You're being fatherish over there.
Yes. Thank right. you. Somebody yeah. needs to stand up for me.
Yeah, well, you know I got your back.
Thank you.
Happy holidays to everyone. This is Vinny Bond.
Hey, Vinny.
Doc.
Yep.
It's been a great year. Happy holidays to you, Jane, Dangerous Lee, Phil, all of the other listeners, and all the people in the chat room.
All right. Get on with it.
I guess my favorite episode of all times is the meltdown Doc had when Joey G did not show up for his show. That was one of the better meltdowns.
We played that one already. Aren't you paying attention? Come on, Vinny. Second choice.
Closely followed by Say Potato in the chat room.
Say Potato in the chat room.
When we had problems one evening on the show.
All right, Vinny, that one we can do for you. We will leave you with the potato incident. But before that, remember next week, New Year's Day, part two of the holiday special. We'll hear more from you, Vinny. More from Dangerous Lee. We'll get Jane in on this, Justin, Phil, and his picks. In fact, we'll hear Phil's first ever call into the Radio Happy Hour. Both historical and hysterical. That's next week, Radio Happy Hour. Good night. Enjoy.
Dr. Brady Barr, thank you very much for joining us here at the Radio Happy Hour.
Hey, it's my pleasure.
What a wussy. Doc, I can't hear you. Can you hear me?
Did I lose everybody?
No, okay. They all said they can hear. Now you just came back on.
Oh, I couldn't hear before?
I couldn't hear you before. When you came out of the interview, I couldn't hear you.
But everyone was able to hear me?
They said they could. Yes, Shannon, Catherine, and Tenberry said I can hear.
All right, let's do a test in the message board, chat room, whatever it's called. All right, we're going to do a test.
Okay. I'm losing you.
But now you can hear me, and they could, whatever.
Okay, could anybody hear Doc when he was not on the phone?
Well, what was the consensus there?
Yeah, they're saying they could hear you, but I could not.
All right, so you know what?
I'm on the phone because I'm on the phone.
All right, you hang up and call me back.
Okay.
All right?
Yep.
All right.
Say something, Doc.
Oh, boy. So now, you know, they weren't able to hear me before.
Now they're saying they can't hear you.
No,
can anybody hear Doc talking on the phone right now?
Now they can hear me, right? Can you hear me now?
Can you hear me now? They're saying still nothing, but we cannot hear you on the phone, they're saying.
But I hear you.
But I hear you.
Oh, God, thank you for ruining my show, people. Who hears me? Who hears me? Phil, you hear me?
Yes.
So, who doesn't hear me right now?
I'm asking right now.
Nikki, you hear me? Great radio. Great radio.
They say you're not streaming.
So now I have a bladder problem?
Wait, Catherine.
Streaming.
Catherine said, now I hear both of you. Term Baby says, now an annoying buzz. Doc A says, now I can hear.
Now there's just a buzz. Now some people hear me.
Yeah.
Oh, great. You know what?
It sounds like it's Blog Talk's problem and not yours, Doc.
Well, that's great, but I have a show to do, and they're ruining it.
Yeah, well, this happened to, this
it's not supposed to happen to anybody. It's supposed to I don't care who it happens to. It shouldn't happen to me.
That's right, because you're Dr. Blockstein.
Yeah.
I'm on board here.
Someone's
yes.
got to fix this now.
Christy, fix it.
Do some typing, Vinny.
I'm dealing with it.
Horrible. All right. This is horrible.
This is
Ground control to Major Tom.
Now how do we sound?
I love the echo.
Now you hear me?
Yeah, that's groovy, man. The echo is cool.
All right. Vinny, you're here. And now, who's this? 201. That's me.
I'm hanging up.
I am so angry right now. Somebody ruined my show, and I want to know who. I want to get to the bottom of it. Now you all hear me? Now are you hearing me?
They're not saying. Oh, well, you're reading it. Okay, Dr. Anonymous says he can't hear me.
You're still not hearing me.
No, why don't you pick up the phone and see if they can hear you?
Mother of God.
Okay, now they're saying they can hear us.
Who is hearing me?
Can anybody hear us? Say yes or no. Can you hear
us? Talk radio. No, I'm not doing a test show tomorrow. This is my regular show.
You hear Dr. Blockstein in the chat room. Because they say that, okay, Dr. Anonymous says they can hear you. Okay, they can hear you.
So now you hear me?
There's a lot of static in here, though, Doc.
So everybody can hear me, right?
Yeah, it looks like they can hear you.
All right, I'm going to say the word potato. You write that okay, you all hear me? Potato. Yep. Say potato. Type potato in the chat room. All right, potato. All right. Now, Nikki, I'm not doing any test show. How come this doesn't work? How much of my show is ruined right now?
Well, probably about 7 minutes.
7 minutes and this show is ruined. I got to quit yelling? All right, fine.
Yeah.
You need to test your phone. You don't need to test my phone. This has worked since I started. Nothing needs to be tested.
Did you say potato?
They're all on delay, Doc, so that's why it's not coming in right away.
All right.
Nikki says the stream is good. Well, you see that. There's static on the phone, Nikki.
I don't know. Whatever. I'm calming down now. But as long as we got the potato thing covered. All right, let me get to our next guest. Because you know what? We have a show to do. Phil, you there?
Yeah.
Vinny, you're there?
Yes, I am.
And let me just say one more thing about Blog Talk Radio. I was featured again on the front page. And every time I'm featured, something goes wrong.
Our guest
please.
Doesn't show up. We lose
yeah.
the feed. You
I,
know.
Will,
Come on.
I lose the feed. There. So please, I've asked you thousands of times before, please do not feature me. I don't want to be featured anymore. No more featuring my show because something always goes wrong.
Nikki, he can't call you in the middle of a show.
Nikki, you want to talk to me? You call into my show.
No, you're supposed to stop the show and call her.
Is this a joke? I'm in the middle of a show, Nikki. All right,
Okay, Doc. Valium. Think Valium. Relax.
I'm thinking cocaine. I'm thinking cocaine.
That's not going to relax you, Doc.
I don't care. I have a guest that I have to talk to.
Okay.
Logan Gola, are you there?
Doc, I'm here. What if this would have been an actual emergency?
I know.
Jeez.
It's unbelievable. Thank you, Phil. I have one of the most important people of modern times as a guest on this show, and I'm mired in technical difficulties. Am I angry? Oh, am I angry? But let's regroup so we can talk to Logan Gola, who is the creator of a very controversial product, which is called I Love Blow Energy Drink.
Hey, Logan.
Drink.
How's it going?
Good.
Energy drink mix, right? All right. So now, Logan, let me just take a couple deep breaths. You don't mind if I do this, Logan?
Take as much time as you need there, Doc.
Okay. Got to calm myself down after that excitement. Can you believe this? Has this ever happened to you? You've been on the entire media circuit. Logan, since you started getting death threats for this thing.
Exactly, since my life was threatened, sure.
Since your life was threatened, have you ever been on such a rinky-dink show like this where things go wrong like that?
I'm honored. You're handling it well.
Literally. Type potato in the chat room.
Hi, Potato in the chat room. Hi, Potato in the chat room.
What's up, Dak?
Can we rock?
What's up, Dak?
Can we rock?
What's up, Dak?
Can we rock?
What's up, Dak?
What's up, Hargo?
Here's the radio happy hour, Dr. Blogstein.
That's me, Dr. Blogstein. Join me and my crew of nutjobs, knuckleheads, and celebrity guest stars each Tuesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, live, exclusively on Blog Talk Radio. And if you don't catch us live, listen to us on the archive. Hey, that rhymes.
Here on the radio, happy hour, Dr. Blogstein.